¿Qué hola? ¿Cómo están? Bienvenidos una vez más a Nos Vemos en el SWATMI. Mi nombre es Luis Octavio y ya sé que los he tenido súper, súper olvidados, pero es que la verdad he estado súper, súper ocupado, pero no se preocupen porque les tengo buenísimas noticias. Ya finalmente vamos a poder tener un episodio, por lo menos una semana sí, una semana no. Bueno, ya veremos. Pero quería platicarles un poquito de lo que he estado haciendo. Para los que no me siguen en Instagram, por favor síganme en arroba nos vemos en el SWATMI, porque ahí es a donde pongo toda mi información y pongo todo acerca de mi vida, mis papás, mis amigos y básicamente todo lo que está pasando. Si estás escuchando Nos Vemos en el SWATMI por primera vez, muchísimas gracias y bienvenidos. Te lo agradezco muchísimo que te hayas tomado un poquito de tu tiempo para escuchar. Definitivamente te recomiendo que empieces desde el primer episodio porque vas a poder ver cómo ha evolucionado Nos Vemos en el SWATMI y qué es lo que hemos estado haciendo. Así que bueno, corre y se va. Primero que nada, nuevamente mil disculpas por tenerlos súper desconectados del podcast. He tenido muchísimo trabajo con Molcajete Dominguero. Ya finalmente lanzamos nuestro primer brick and mortar, como dicen acá los gringos, ¿no? Nuestra primer tienda. Y ha sido increíble. Abrimos en febrero, hicimos un soft launch, o sea, no hemos promovido muchísimo y la gente ha llegado. Es increíble ver cómo esta comunidad en realidad apoya a todos estos vendedores que tienen productos increíbles. La tienda está localizada en Boyle Heights y mucha gente nos ha preguntado por qué en Boyle Heights, ¿no? Y la verdad es que, pues bueno, nosotros siempre, mi compañera Gladys de G-Soto Design y yo, siempre quisimos regresar a la ciudad que nos dio nuestra primera oportunidad, que fue Boyle Heights. Aquí fue donde empezamos Molcajete Dominguero. Empezamos con 35 vendedores, llegaron 500 personas al primer evento de Molcajete Dominguero. Y de ahí fue creciendo y evolucionando a lo que es hoy por hoy, que es el pop-up más grande de Latinx, de latinos, en todo Estados Unidos, que es increíble. Jamás pensamos que cuando empezamos, que esto iba a suceder, ¿no? Entonces, es sumamente increíble. Y ahora estamos en otra etapa en donde acabamos de lanzar una tienda aquí en la ciudad de Boyle Heights, en donde puedes venir y encontrar algunos, y cuando digo algunos, no es porque no queremos traer a todos los vendedores, sino que no nos caben todos los vendedores con los que trabajamos, pero entonces tenemos a algunos de los vendedores aquí en la tienda en donde puedes encontrar sus creaciones de miércoles a domingo. De miércoles a viernes abrimos de 2 a 7 de la tarde y los domingos y los sábados abrimos de 12 a 5 de la tarde, a lo menos que caiga un domingo en donde sea el Molcajete Dominguero, que sucede en Plaza de la Cultura y Artes, entonces vamos a estar cerrados. Pero bueno, este primer episodio de este año quería poner una grabación que hice el año pasado. Tuve la oportunidad de ir a Hispanicize LA, fue me parece que en octubre, y formé parte de un panel en donde hablamos de los negocios, de los pequeños negocios y cómo emprender los negocios. Entonces, estaba escuchando este episodio y creo que es el mejor episodio para empezar este año por varias cosas. Bueno, la primera es de que al volver a escuchar este episodio me di cuenta que ahí hablamos de muchísimas cosas que ya se han cumplido. Y eso es muy, muy increíble, el poder regresar y escuchar algo que dijimos y que ahora lo veamos materializado. Eso es increíble y eso es, ¿cómo se llama? Es para que la gente vea que qué tan importantes son las palabras, ¿no? Cuando uno dice, ¿para qué me voy a apuntar si no me van a escoger? ¿Para qué voy a hacer esto si no lo voy a poder hacer? Las palabras tienen muchísimo valor. Las palabras son muy, muy fuertes. Entonces, eso es increíble porque en la grabación, durante el panel, Amy y Tom de Gourmetletas hablan de un lanzamiento de un negocio nuevo. Y hace una semana o una semana y media, ese lanzamiento surgió y pasó aquí en la tienda de Molcajete Dominguero. Entonces, eso es tan increíble ver eso, que cómo las palabras son tan, tan importantes y son muy fuertes, ¿no? Entonces, creo que por esa razón es importante empezar con este episodio. Y segundo, porque para los que me siguen en Molcajete Dominguero, Nos vemos en el SOADMI, vieron que este año teníamos planeado con Ana Flores y su equipo increíble. Saludos al equipo increíble de Ana. Habíamos planeado un evento titulado Molcajete to Grow, en donde íbamos a dar información acerca de cómo empezar tu negocio. Desgraciadamente, este año aquí en el sur de California, el clima no ha estado de nuestro lado y ha habido días que amanece muy caliente y al otro día está lloviendo. Entonces, por la posibilidad de que nos cayera la lluvia durante el evento, decidimos cancelarlo. Y sí hemos recibido muchísimos mensajes y muchísimos correos electrónicos de gente que se desilusionaron porque tuvimos que cancelar el evento. Entonces, a esta gente les digo, por favor, escuchen este episodio y escuchen cómo Esmeralda de Bebela Cosmetics y cómo Amy y Tom de Gourmeletas y cómo Adriana de Adriana's Discovers México, cómo todos nosotros empezamos nuestro propio negocio y cómo fue creciendo de a poquito. Porque la pregunta número uno es, ¿cómo empezar el negocio? ¿Cómo empiezo mi propio negocio? Y lo que yo siempre le digo a la gente es, el primer paso es el más difícil, pero lo tienes que hacer sin miedo de fracasar. Porque para mí en lo personal es mejor fracasar y levantarte a no saber qué hubiera pasado si te hubieras lanzado a empezar tu primer negocio. Entonces, bueno, también les comento que escuchen hasta el final de este episodio porque les quiero presentar a alguien muy, muy especial que gracias a la ayuda de esta persona, pues ahora vamos a poder tener más episodios de Nos vemos en el SWATME más seguido. Y pues bueno, escuchen y los dejo aquí con el panel de Hispanicize LA del 2018.
Okay, bueno, mi nombre es Amy, gracias por estar aquí. Tenemos una compañía de postres, paletas, si lo quieren ver así. Uno de los retos, no sé si necesariamente es retos, no me gusta compararlo como retos o failures, yo pienso que son oportunidades o lecciones que uno puede aprender. So, yo pienso que también cuando uno tiene un obstáculo, como lo explicamos nosotros, es que eso o la oportunidad simplemente no era para ti. Everything's a learning experience. I just think that the opportunity that you get, if it didn't go through, it's just necessarily, it wasn't an opportunity for you. And you just have to learn from it, and there will be other, you know, opportunities.
That's a very good perspective to take, yeah. Because when you take on entrepreneurship, it's a series of challenges, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And so you do have to look at it as a challenge because it gives you a better perspective on what to overcome. And then another of the things most people struggle with is how do we make that shift between your part-time job and a full-time job? Like, at what point do you take that leap? Can you share with us how it worked for you?
Bueno, pues mi nombre es Luis Octavio, and I have a podcast que se llama Nos vemos en el SWATME, and I also have Molcajete Dominguero, which has now become the largest Latinx pop-up in the country. And that decision was basically made when we saw that this event was growing and that it needed attention. It no longer was a part-time job. And so it's not an easy step, obviamente, porque pues obviamente, you know, you're worried about that paycheck coming in every other week and you being able to go out and have a good time. And now you're taking a pay cut. But at the end of the day, you have to see the potential rewards. And you have to take a chance. Because for me personally, the biggest obstacle would be myself. And the biggest failure for me would be not failing at something. So not knowing what would have happened if I would have taken that leap of faith would have been like the biggest challenge. So for me, that's what made it easy. I'd rather fail at something than not know if it would have or not have been successful.
So the best time to take the chance is when you feel it that you should.
Sí, es que lo tienes que sentir. O sea, no hay como, this is the rule. It's just, lo sientes, ¿no?
And one of the other challenges a lot of businesses face is the financing. How do you finance that next stage of your business? How did it work for you?
Well, what happened, well, I don't know if you guys know my business. My name is Esmeralda. I'm the CEO of Vipala. And we also have another brand that is called Beauty Creations. And for me, well, I think one of the biggest obstacles was me being a woman, because I would go to China and it was just like, people are, you know, they're used to being, you know, okay, I'm going to see the owner of the company, and they wouldn't take me seriously. They thought I was like, oh, where's your husband? Like, you're doing the, you know, you're doing the purchases? And I'm like, well, let me tell you that my husband is taking care of my babies, and I'm here shopping. And I was like, you know, and, you know, they got used to it, so now they see me like, okay, she's the one. But before, it was really hard. Because for them, even though it's a beauty industry, but 99% is men. And right now, me being, you know, a boss woman, a boss lady, it's hard because most of my customers, 90% it's men. So it's hard because my husband, well, at the end of the day, I have a husband, and it's just dealing with only men. So that was one. And what was the other question about the money?
Yeah, how do you finance that next
It day? Was hard because we started from the Swami, so we had like no investors. We started like from nothing. Like, we had nothing. So, you know, we started and we're saving, and, you know, that leads to something else, and then that money gave more, and that's...
And what was that time frame?
You
know, like.
I've been working since I remember. I've been at the Swami since I was like, I think I was almost literally born there. Oh, I came when I was 9, and since I've been in this country, I've been at the Swami. Like, you know, it was after school, we'd go to the Swami, and I learned how to get involved.
And I can see Luis smiling when you say, yeah, I started at the Swami. He's like rolling with pride. So a lot of small businesses, really, that's how they get started, right? And then that's how you
get
started.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, I think a lot of people are embarrassed to say, like, oh, I started there. And for me, I'm like, I'm proud of it. Like, I still go to the Swami. And, you know, like, and people, like, my biggest customer is in Mexico. And you know, he'll be like, why do you tell people that you work at the Swami? And I'm like, I like to. Like, I go to the Swami not because I know that I'm going to be, you know, the morpa de hambre, because it's like, oh, it's good, you know, you do that extra. And I'm like, I know I don't have to. I do it because I want to. I do it because I want my kids to know where, you know, how do I have all this? We just bought a new house. So they're like, oh, my goodness. And I want them to know, okay, we went to the Swami, so this is the reason we have this house.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to think like, oh, well, we got it, you know?
It's great.
You
still identify. Right, because it doesn't matter. Yesterday, Ida was mentioning how Latinos, we are such a diverse group, and in our family, we have lawyers, and then we have the tia de sales paletas, right? And how really, like how we are a diverse group, and having that identity, regardless of where you are in life, as well, inspires the new generation to see, well, you know, this is where I'm at now, but you work hard enough, and then you start seeing people that you admire. And we as Latinos really are a bunch of entrepreneurs at heart, right? In our countries, the lady, they have the tiendita, so we see that as part of our identity, but having those roots is important as well. I'll share a little bit about me. I'm an empresaria in the fashion industry specifically. After I raised my daughter, I have a 25-year-old, I decided to take a sabbatical and put my knowledge to use because our community had been plagiarized. So I moved to Mexico and tried to figure out how I would be able to work with the communities. We've been able to create a good network, and now we're connecting
people between the States and Mexico to create authentic contact that really goes directly back into the community rather than becoming a trend and say we're a social good or responsible company actually creating businesses between the indigenous communities that have been plagiarized and people here in the States that really want to buy the products directly. And so for me it's important, it's something that I've been a huge advocate to be able to grow businesses and be able to have people like you share experiences. It's important because we come from different backgrounds as well as our businesses themselves are diverse in nature. Something that I would like to know as well is, like, what is next for you? What are your next steps now that you are here where you're at? Like, what is your vision for your business?
Well, me, I get a lot that I go like 100 miles per hour, so since we decided to start, like, we didn't start with Gormeletas, like, there's like a whole background story, you know, and then we just, with Gormeletas, like, it took off, but I told him since we started, I'm like, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this, so, little sneak peek, next is coming Gormeletas coffee cart, like, coffee cart service, and something that I always wanted to start, like, you know, again, 0 to 100, I wanted a storefront since day one. So I'm always looking for a good storefront, but like location is key. So when we find a good location, don't be surprised if you see like Guadalajara's one, and Guadalajara's Mexico, like, you know, I say if you're a dream, go ahead and dream big.
That's right.
You know,
awesome.
We can open franchise.
Yes.
You know what?
I'm open to
everything.
I see the business and I'm like, oh,
yeah.
That's me.
Girl, yeah, I'm in between, so I need to get it.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting some makeup palette.
Makeup palette.
What's next? Help me. I'm down. We have the accounting here. So, opening.
Your financing.
Yeah, finance.
Business deal going on live. And
right, exactly.
You know,
absolutely, and I think that those are the best relationships when we're able to support each other. Something that I would like everyone to do here and as part of the panel is to give a shout out to your friends who are doing amazing businesses. Because the best thing we can do is support each other. If we support each other, we grow our wealth, and the wealth stays within the community. So I really recommend you guys to, you know, keep in mind, well, first keep in touch and then see how we can make that Gormeletas.
Well, it is true because, for example, right now that I'm in the business, the Koreans, they're like super close to each other.
Everybody.
And you see, like, you see me at the expos and I'm the only Latina. It's only me and someone else that are Latinos and he doesn't talk to me. And I'm like, we're the only Latinos. We have to support each other. You have your line. He does cosmetics too. You have your line. Your line is completely different from mine. Like, don't hate.
Yeah.
Like, let's help each other, you
for
know?
Sure.
Well, and honestly, as Latinos, it's really sad to say it, but we're not like that.
No.
We're just trying to see, oh, why is he up there? Why is, what is he doing? Like,
yeah,
why not me?
And
it's sad. And it's really
sure.
sad because, like, my friend, she has a store. And I try to help her, like, you know, let's do this, come to my event, I know her, work with her, why not do that?
Yes.
Why hate, you know?
I would like to add on to that, porque when we started Margarita de Dominguero, we started with 35 vendors, 500 people showed up, we haven't printed a single flyer or a poster, and the power behind being able to work together, this is what we tell every single vendor, and they will attest to this. No te fijes en lo que tu vecina, el vecino está haciendo, or whether they have the same t-shirt, or, I mean, how different can you make a freaking concha, right? I mean, o sea, no hay, there's no way. But instead of being in a competition with each other, let's support each other and let's collaborate. And so now, because of that, Monica Dominguero is now the largest Latinx pop-up in the country, but we have over 120 vendors at every event. And we get 1.3 million impressions on Instagram, and that is not just done from one person. It takes Amy and Tom from Gormeletas, and it takes all the other vendors. So I love that you're saying this about the makeup and really collaborating, and because That is so important. When we are put against each other, the only people that we have to back us up are each other. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't do that and we continue to be envidiosos, we will not rise to the occasion. So for Molcajete Dominguero, we always promote other events. And when we started promoting other events, people asked us, why do you guys promote other events that are similar to yours? Well, guess what? There's un chingo de Latinos aquí. We cannot be the only Latinx pop-up shop. There needs to be more. We cannot be the only ones. And so that is the only way that we will make a difference and that we will make ourselves know that we're here.
Yeah. Well, now what I would say, like, my mom, she's super nice. Me acuerdo que íbamos a Swami, she would be like, se nos ponían enfrente, maybe selling the same products. My mom would be like, ah, no, you know, cada quien tiene lo que ya va a vender. Like, se te puede poner enfrente, and honestly, I'm going to talk to me por experiencia. We used to sell cosmetics, and we used to be at the Swami. Y había una girl, que she was my friend, y ella veía que vendía mucho. So all of a sudden, llegó un día, and I was like, that's my space. I was like, bueno, like, oh, no, that's... Y vendía cosméticos, los mismos cosméticos que yo. Y el día que ella no iba, yo no vendía igual. Si ella iba, vendía mucho más que si yo no iba. So, cuando no estaba ella, I was like, ah, you know, it's going to be a slow day. Porque cuando ella iba, vendíamos mucho más que cuando ella no iba. Porque yo le echaba más ganas. I'll be like, you know, on top of it, I'll be like, señora, ¿qué le doy? You know, I'll be like, ya, ese es su color, you know? And it's true, like, le das, yo siempre he dicho que la competencia es buena. En cualquier lugar, la competencia es súper buena. Así es que no sé por qué ser envidioso.
I mean, yeah. People pick up on your vibe. So, like, I can tell she has really good vibe. So, what makers do you think they're going to buy? And I think that sometimes people, they want to look at what's outward, what's going on, but they need to look at themselves inward. Because it happens with us, like, at Molcajete Dominguero. It's kind of like, hey, if there's another one, like, of the same thing, but it's kind of like, you know, project good things out there. And overall, like, project the love, because people are going to feel that. It's contagious, and they're going to want what you have. Like, just like I want your makeup, you know?
Well, you know what? Like, I feel like people don't really understand this concept. 50%, basically, of people loving your product is the vibes you put out, what you give out, how much you love it. Like, como ella dijo, like, echaba más ganas. Because at the end of the day, it's your business. And you weren't hating on her. You were just like, I gotta sell my stuff. Like, I gotta. Yeah. So it's people see that. And then when you hate, when you're like, oh, but they're doing the same thing. Like, one time, like, this is an inside story. We do Molcajete Dominguero, which we're really grateful for Molcajete and Luis and all this. Yeah, for the time because we were already doing catering, and a lot of people know that we were doing like pizza catering before we were doing the paletas. Paletas, we would offer it as a dessert option. It wasn't really like we're doing hand-dip. It was kind of, people started asking us, like, can you bring dessert? We said, yeah, we can do hand-dip ice cream bars. We can do churros and funnel cakes. We can do all these things for catering. But then somebody told us about Molcajete Dominguero, and we said, yeah, we should come. And what do we name it? And the whole thing started with a paleta because of Molcajete Dominguero. There's this one time that we show up, and I see a paleta going in with a paleta cart. Inside, right? I was like, shoot, and everybody's like, oh, look.
No, it's like, no, so.
Exactly. You have to go out and see Molcajete, it's great. But what happens is that that particular day, we always get the same spot. We get there early. That day, we got there late, we didn't get to the spot. We got moved way back. We were not in our same spot, so we were kind of uncomfortable. Like, oh, we don't know what we're going to sell, or how good are we going to do? Because you're just like starting, right? And it's a pop up, it's not catering, we're trying to sell. And I see the guy walking late with the cart. So it was even more of the first time I ever seen a paletero. But you know what? Instead of honestly, of being like, oh, like, you know, yeah, like, why did you do that? We remember having this conversation with Luis and the vendors and saying, look, I love what he said that. He said, it's all tied up para todos. And I was like, he's right. Like, why am I going to, you know, why are we going to be like, oh, I hope he doesn't sell, or why do they have him? At the end of the day, you know, we had other employees, and it was getting close to the day. I didn't see a lot of people with his paletas. You know, our stuff was, we were selling, you know, you could tell because we have little boards that say our name on there. So everybody's walking around, they were like, cool, you know. But I felt bad, even though I couldn't see him. So I told my wife, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go back there. And a lot of people were like, all right, I'm like, I'm just gonna go say hi.
Did you bring
me a paleta? No, I'm gonna lie to you. I walked around the corner to where he was, And as soon as he saw me, I could tell his face was like, oh, man. You know? Because you know, we're rocking and we're good at branding. So we had a t-shirt on, we had a brand. You know, everybody's wearing all black. So I'm walking out here with one of my employees. And he has two carts there. We only have one cart there. And he had two carts, you know. And he's just like, his mom was sitting down. You know, he was like, I could tell he was defeated. I couldn't see it in his face. So I walked up, I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'm Tomasa from Gormaletas. He's like, yeah, I see everybody over there watching popsicles. I'm like, dude, did you do that? I hope you did good, man. Are you doing good? And he's like, nah. He's like, you know, it's because you guys are here. And, you know, like, it's like competition. And he's like, I didn't do as good as I thought I was going to do. So I was like, man, it's just consistent. Come next time, you're going to do great. Like, you're going to be good. He never came back. But
this is with my money.
But at the end of the day, I realized that day that we didn't do that. We did well. It didn't matter our spot. It didn't matter who came in. At the end of the day, it is really what you put out. 50% of your business is what you put out. How good of a person you really are. Because a lot of people are very nice to you in front of you. They're like, oh, yeah. But then they won't follow through. Like, or they're not really like that. They're really looking out for themselves. And I think that the platforms we have, like what we can get at, is like you, like saying, we can do it. We can. Somebody, she was telling me, we have all these crazy ideas. Imagine she's 100, us together, we are like 1,000. Yeah. But we have ideas, like for example, we want to do this candle line with the paletas and all these crazy, right? But we had the idea to do some other kind of product, you know, and we asked somebody who's good at that. And she said, can you make this for us and work more? We'll do something together where it'll be your brand, but for us. And he said, oh, you left.
He's like, that was fast.
Yeah.
He was insinuating he had almost worked. Kind of saying, like, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Don't do this. And I was kind of like,
yeah. And we feel like, that's not, no.
Yeah, that's
no.
Not the way to go about it, because if we're going to grow together, we have to see how we can
exactly.
Support each other.
Yeah.
On that note, I have several friends. I love entrepreneurship. In general, so most of my friends tend to be entrepreneurs. Something beautiful that happened in Detroit, a city where everybody dogs down the city. There was some people from New York wanting to move into the city. They opened up a coffee shop, and people start coming because it was close to downtown. Then their second guy from New York wants to come into the city and open a coffee shop. So what happens is that everybody locally is like, you better talk to him, right? You're moving into the city, you're opening a coffee shop. And the best attitude that he could have, he's like, okay, that's good. I'm going to show you some of my vendors, and we're going to make this row the best place to come for coffee in the city. Like, that is super cool. Now there's the whole strip. Now it's little restaurants, and there have been boutiques that have benefited from these relationships. So the best thing we can do for ourselves, really, is to collaborate. Something I think it's important to make a note of friends and create a list of your best friends, what they're doing, the people that you think that they're doing cool things, and start buying from them,
yeah.
You know, support each other. So, any other thing you want to share with us? I know that you have seen and worked with a lot of entrepreneurs. What would you say the most successful people have done that you've seen, the best practices, if you will, that you've seen from all the people that you know?
I mean, I think there's obviously people go to school for this, right, to become successful business women and men. But I think that the best thing is, and those that I've seen at Molcajete, like Amy and Tom from Gormaletas, who continue to grow, it really is having this attitude of not being in competition with each other. Like, I cannot stress that enough. Not being in competition, not seeing what other people are doing that are potentially doing the same thing as you are or not. And one of the biggest samples that I put out there for the vendors, because a lot of these vendors sometimes don't get it, you know, porque we come from this Latinx, Latino background where we have dichos like el que quiera tienda, que la tienda, and zapatero su zapato, panadero panadería, and it's like those refranes they come from like our backgrounds, our culture, and I feel like that keeps us aquí abajo.
We have to break that. We cannot be in competition with each other. We have to support each other. So those who have succeeded are those who are supportive of their peers, but continue to be in their lane. Continue to say, hey, I'm working on a brand. I'm working on my brand. This is what I want for my brand. And those are the ones who are succeeding. There are vendors that walk out of every Molcajete with over $5,000-$6,000 of things that they sold. We are estimating that Molcajete moves between $70,000 and close to $100,000 in 5 hours. So if you stay in your lane and you support everybody else and you're not worried about what everybody else is doing, I think that those are the ones who are becoming very successful. There are vendors at Molcajete Dominguero who have been featured in TV shows. And that happens because they are not being envidiosos, which is why for me it's so important to not be envidioso. Let's collaborate. There is, I've heard of several different vendors where you send them a DM and you ask them, oye, me puedes decir where I can get t-shirts printed for less expensive, or where can I get my business cards? And some of these vendors are like, hey, listen, it took me a while to find that contact. You find your own. No mames. Like, why are you doing that? Like, ¿qué te quita if you're sharing that information? Mm-hmm. You know, ¿qué te quita? Yeah. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And so this is why I think it's important for us to just be supportive of each other. Hashtag no seamos envidiosos. And also, those that I've seen be very, very successful are those who really genuinely care about their brand and about their product and have a focus. And they're creative. They're not just copying whatever, you know, somebody else is doing. Which, you could do that because, hey, listen, our pop-up, we didn't invent pop-ups by any means. We did not invent them.
But we come back to authenticity, right? So you found that niche that our market didn't have. It didn't have a...
I mean, it did have it, porque there's art walks, there's farmer markets, there's Dia de los Muertos events. Yeah. So it was there. Mm-hmm. But what we did was... how can we incorporate everyone in the Latino community? This is not just about Mexicanos, and this is not just about, you know, Centroamericanos or whatever. This is about everyone as a community. Even though I'm from Mexico, but we never make Molcajete Dominguero centralized to Mexico. We never just have tacos. We have arepas, comida colombiana, salvadoreña, de todo. Because, again, we need to stick together and help each other out. Las redes sociales, they're so big. They're so important. And if you do not collaborate with other brands to help your product grow, then te vas a quedar ahí.
Yeah, it's true. I'm gonna talk a little bit about us. When we started, well, we started at the Swami. I was a regular teen mom. I got pregnant when I was 19. And, well, eso fue lo que yo aprendí. Like, my mom used to go to the Swami, so I was like, well, now you're going to the Swami. Because I didn't go to college. I was really smart. I had like a 4.2 and I got a scholarship. So I was like, when they came to my mom, I was like, mom, well, guess what? I'm pregnant. She's like, yeah, I had like my space. I used to sell perfume. And I was like, well, you know, I have this kid. Now I have to look for myself. And we used to live in this little-ass room, me and my husband, chiquito. Por cierto, que mi esposo está poniendo el piso de mi warehouse. I just want to, I don't know where you're going to lie. Está poniendo el piso de la warehouse. So nos fuimos un cuartito, and we were like, pues hay que empezar. So we started, we used to sell perfume. So yo tenía mi puesto, yo tenía ese puesto. And then one day, llegó un señor, and we used to sell hair straighteners. And he was like, oh, I used to live in China for 7 years. And I know where they do all the hair products. So I was like, oh, I never thought about that. Having like my own brand. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. So yeah, I had some money saved. So I went to China, I did my hair products. And mi esposo me dijo, we should open the store. Pero yo siempre he sido bien miedosa. I was like, miedosa en el aspecto that I was like, I don't want to be there at the store 24/7. Like, I go to the Swami, and if I don't want to go, I won't go. And that's it. Like, nothing's going to happen. And I was at the store. I have to be there 24/7. And he's like, yeah, let's go. So we passed by, and we went to the warehouse. We went to see the store. And the guy, he had, like, an attitude. He's like, do you really want the store? Because, you know, I don't want to go down there. And I was like, yeah, I really want to see it. So ya no me enseña. And I think his attitude made me like, oh, I want to keep it just because it has a little attitude with me. So we got the store, and I was like, so what are we going to sell? I can just have hair straighteners. So I was like, well, let's do cosmetics. I didn't know anything about cosmetics. Well, so we started studying other brands, and I was like, well, I can do my own brand. So yeah, we started doing our brand. So we used to sell it in our stores, and we had other brands. But it was funny because the brands that we had, people knew that it was my brand, and they wouldn't sell it. Like, gente que venía a Swami iba a mi tienda, pero no compraba mi brand. They wouldn't buy my brand to support my brand. They would buy another brand, but not my brand. And then I was like, okay. So I did this brand. It's our first brand. Y le dije a mi mamá, you know what? Let's do another brand, pero que nadie sepa que es de nosotros. Que nadie sepa. Let's keep it a secret. So yeah, that's how we did it. We did the second brand. No le dijimos. And Koreans, like los coreanos, nos compraba the second brand. They started asking for our brand. Porque cuando sí íbamos a ofrecerla a las tiendas, mandaban a mi esposa y le decía, yo ofrécele, like, tell them that we're, you know, that it's our brand. And people would be like, no, because you don't have an invoice. So creían que la mercancía era robada. So they were like, no, you don't have an invoice. And my husband would be like, yes, we do. Like, we're going to give you an actual invoice. It's our brand. So yeah, we started selling the cosmetics. And then I would see at the Swami that people had my cosmetic. And I'd be like, oh, so you're selling that one. But you don't want to sell my other brand. So, and it's crazy, you know, just to see that. I don't know if it's our mentality as Latinos, like, let's not. But we have to change that, you know. Honestly, I think we are, you know, things have changed so much that I feel like we have to support each other.
We are, look, we're here.
You know, like, we have to. And it's crazy because now I'm flying to Mexico. I'm flying tonight. We have an event. And to see the brand in Mexico, how big it is, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's my brand. Oh, my goodness.
It's important as well, as we've mentioned, to be responsible not only to our friends that are entrepreneurs, but as well to our society and the communities that we serve. I oftentimes purchase, I am into clothes, so I oftentimes purchase clothes wherever I go. If I'm in Detroit, I purchase things from Detroit. If I'm in Mexico, I purchase things that are made in Mexico, and oftentimes I'm criticized for saying that, like, oh, you want to be super Mexican, or you want to, now all of a sudden you feel Detroiter. I feel that the societies that we, and communities that we serve, we should have that responsibility. And we have to be able to see the bigger picture as well as a community. We are sending 7% of our income to our country. What about if we start consuming the things that we do, right? So if we need hair, if we need someone to cater, feel free to start making list of friends and, you know, continue to support them. Because it takes so much time from everyone. So I really do think that you're purchasing the dreams of, you know, everybody, all the efforts and the trials that you are going through, the different stages. And talking to that about that, like, how do you find the time? Because running a business takes a lot of time.
We're awesome.
It's hard. It's hard. Honestly, as the boss lady, like, my husband is in the business, but we have to manage the store and having the warehouse and a team and being a mom. Right now, mi niña, latengo mi mamá. Like, I know, mom, can you come and figure out? It's hard. It's hard because then people start criticizing you. Like, oh, she'd rather be in Mexico and vez de andar aquí con su hija en el baile. Like, they don't appreciate, they don't see everything. You know, and it's hard. It, honestly, it's hard to find a balance. Like, am I a mom? Am I a boss lady? Am I the wife? Yeah, I still have to cook once in a year, but I they do it. And people criticize me. How do you get? I don't know. For me, it's hard.
No, pues sí, es difícil. O sea, I mean, if you don't want to put the time and effort, sweat and tears, pues, you know, this entrepreneurship is probably not for you because it's not easy. Pero cuando haces algo que te apasiona, que en realidad te apasiona, and you're doing it because you don't know anything else, then el tiempo se acomoda para ti. Solito, se va a acomodar. And your days just get longer. Pero at the end of the day, at the end of the night, at the end of the day, when you go to sleep, you, the, por lo menos para mí, y me aseguro, estoy seguro que para ustedes también es igual, I go to bed sleeping thinking, güey, o sea, hice algo chingoncísimo hoy. Que mucha gente no tiene la oportunidad o la dicha de poder hacerlo, you know? And so that's how I manage my time. By just, I know I'm tired, pero ni modo, I have to send that freaking email. And I know I'm tired, pero me voy a levantar. Bueno, no me levanto temprano. ¿Para qué les voy a mentir? ¿Para qué les voy a mentir? Sí, pero me voy a dormir bien noche. But I think that you just have to find the time. And when you're doing something that you love, I mean, el único dicho que sí me gusta, que time flies when you're having fun. Like, I think that's really, truly 100% the truth. Because before you know it, se acabó el día, but you accomplish so many things. So yeah.
And I believe that as Latinos, Hispanos, we're halfway there because we really do come. We do have the working gene where we really enjoy. And I find, I'm living in Mexico right now, I find that people, whatever their labor happened to be, I mean, they're whistling, they're having fun regardless of what it is. So it's even better when you're working towards building something that is for you and then will benefit not only you, yours, but your community, right? So what's next for you guys?
More collabs.
You heard it, a lot of collabs.
Well, for me, Ulta, that's our working Ulta. And it's crazy because right now we're, you know, starting from this inexpensive brand, that's the second brand that I did, that I was like, voy a hacer esta marca porque es económico, and now I'm going to be me. Like, for the first time, I think that's the reason that we've grown so much with the second brand. Because I feel like it was just like, I was me, being myself. So, estaba creando algo que I was like, va a estar económico, cualquier persona lo puede comprar. You don't have to have $50. Because my mom was a single mom. So, iba Mac, and I was like, oh, yo le estoy working. Mi mamá no gusta for the whole collection. So, to see, you know, everyone's the pretty products, but you don't want something super expensive. And honestly, for us, that has worked for us. And thank you to my team, because sin ellos no sería nada. You know, and a lot of people don't appreciate that, you know? Like, they just say, oh, me, the boss. No, I always tell my team, like, sin ustedes, no fuera la compañía que somos. Because you call the warehouse, y todos estamos gritando todo el tiempo. Y algún día, and I'm in the back, Emma! That's what that is. But, you know, we try to make it, like, y la verdad que todos en la compañía trabajan como si la compañía fuera de ellos. So if they want to trade my cars, you know, o sea, son como de ellos, porque I always tell them, like, ustedes trabajaron como si fuera su compañía al final del día. Y yo creo que como, like an owner, like as a boss, si tu trabajador trabaja y quiere tanto la comunidad, como tú quieres tu compañía, yo creo que ese es el secreto que nos ha funcionado para nosotros. Yo siempre le digo a mis empleados, si ustedes crecen conmigo, nosotros, o sea, ustedes van a crecer, like, the company is growing. Y un día estaba súper enojado, yo nunca me enojo. No sé por qué ese día me enojé en la workout. Hice una meeting. Y que les digo, ¿saben qué? Si ustedes no están aptos para crecer conmigo, don't waste my time. Yo estoy viéndolo porque I want people that are going to grow, that they're going to be the managers. Like, I'm trying to go to other expos y les voy a mandar. And guess what? The next day, ya no llegó un muchacho. And I was like, for me, it was a lot. Porque el guy, él supo, like, I'm not here to grow. Like, I want to be in my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Don't ask extra. I'm going to be me caminando despacito. I'm going to grab the box. Y la voy a acariciar. And then I'll take it. And then we're going to have a conversation. But, you know, and they don't do it. Like, they know that we're always like this. Y él no, you know, he didn't want to grow. And I was like, for me, it was like, oh, that's good, you know. Yeah. He knew, like, I don't think I'm going to be here.
You know, I want to piggyback off of what you just said because I think it's so important. It's so, so important to be able to treat the people that are there supporting your dream as equal, because literally you are as good as the way you treat people. Mm-hmm. That is so important. That is so refreshing to hear that, that you're saying that. Ustedes no han dicho nada, pero después me dicen. But at the same token, I think it was Oprah that said this, I don't know, and I always say this. I think Oprah said, you need to hire people that know what you don't know. And you need to leave your ego behind. And so with Molcajete Dominguero, it's a two-person team. It's myself and my co-founder, Gladys Vasquez from G Soto Design. And when we started the company, we said, we are going to allow people that sell the same things that we sell to come in, because this is not for us. And so you taking your ego away and really focusing on the company and what it stands for is huge. So hire and work with people that don't know, that know what you don't know. And that's what we're doing for social media. Even though we're like at the very end of the millennial spectrum, we've brought on board a graphics designer who is 100% millennial. And we're like, grow with it, go. Si la vas a cagar, this is the time for you to cagar. You know, like, because you are our target audience. So if I would have not, you know, stepped away from my ego, I would have continued to do things the way I do them and think that everybody else likes what I like. And that is not the case. So you need to, in order to succeed as a company when it starts growing, you need to step back and really just focus and hone in on your audience and see what they're what they like.
So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and our next step is to go to Chicago and Dallas.
So I think we're going to take a couple of questions from the public, if anybody has questions. Anybody? Anybody has a business that would like to promote? Go ahead.
A question for Gormeletas. You've obviously talked about the collaboration, all of you have been talking about collaborating with others. Is there a way that you approach other people to collaborate? Because I'm sure you guys go through where people want to collaborate with you, and in the end, they just really want to benefit from it. Is there some maybe a key or question that you'd like to ask to know that's the right person to collaborate with?
Well, I think like sharing similar core values is key. That's who, when I try to see who we can possibly collaborate, I see like, you know, what their brand is about and just, again, how their vibe is, and because that's very important to me, because who you collaborate, it's like almost a reflection of you. So you want to, that could like make you or break you. You know, it could set you back a couple steps. So you want to make sure and keep that in mind, because maybe that you're not about something, but and people look at it and then they don't realize that they were a reflection of you at that time. And that's why, again, like what they were talking about, it takes a village. It really does, you know. So your team, it's a reflection. And again, too, whoever you want to make the decision to collaborate with.
Well, I think we're running out of time, but something that I find that is important is to continue to pay it forward. So I'm going to share with you guys my Instagram, my Facebook. If anybody has a question regarding fashion, if anybody wants to start their own fashion brand, my pay it forward is I can give you guys 5 hours of free advice laid out in bi-weekly sessions. It's Adriana Discovers Mexico, if anybody wants to go there. That is my give. My ask is I have an organization that works directly with indigenous communities in Mexico. We help them do commerce with businesses in the States. We create liaisonships, and we have opened up a space for content creators that want to come and do residencies to develop work directly with the communities to start fair trade businesses. So that my ask is that you guys go to Mexico Cultura y Orgullo and give us a like and share with people that want to come and visit them to do fair trade.
And follow the influencer trip that's taking place October 28th through November 2nd. There's a group of influencers who are going to Oaxaca to have direct interaction with the artisans.
Yeah.
And they're part of the Hippo Cultura y
we have a special trip coming up with influencers that are coming to create creative content from Dia de Muertos. So, so
you guys still have 15 minutes.
Ah, okay. All right. that's my ask and that's
sorry.
My gift. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I have a question. Like everything sounds really cool, but I'm going like a bit back into the creation of something to actually sell, because I think that that's like you can have great ideas, but how do you decide which one is going to be like the one that you're going to put your money on? Because that's the thing sometimes. Like everybody can sell paletas or whatever, but how do you decide which ones are worth to get them a try? And also like pop-ups or makeup.
So number one, passion is key, because we talk about that all the time. We can sell a product, but if I don't really like it, it's not good to just do it for the money, because at the end of the day, it's going to only go so far. And then to the actual development of a product, I mean, dig deep to what your interests are, what ideas you have, and try to develop that, because only you know what you want to create. And a good benchmark, if you want to say it like that, I think that everything's already invented. So I think take something and make it
better.
Reinvent it, reimagine it, make it brand new. I don't think that, because a pen for paletas, for example.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, you know, paletas, we just refer. They call me the modern, you know, paleteros. We did never tried that to be that.
Yeah.
You know, so when you think about that, you just think the traditional, you know, the paletero on the street, you know, so that's one way like that we made it, for example, new, modern, sin querer, like we didn't try it to, so. Whatever idea could, because it's hard when you look at it like, oh, what am I going to do? Everything's invented. But if you say, like, how can I reinvent something?
Did you guys make like a business plan or
of course.
That's kind of like going to basics.
I'll tell you quick, because it's kind of a long story for us.
Okay.
But we didn't start off saying we're going to do paletas overnight. So my family, they own pizza shops. My idea was like, I want to do high end pizza. So they own pizza shops that they sell. They compete with Little Caesars, so they sell $5 pizza, right? I always thought, well, like, I personally don't like to go to Little Caesars. That's like something like a bed. It's not like I'm gonna go enjoy it, you know. That's something like that's how we see it, you know. I like to go to a high end pizza shop and enjoy a pizza that's great. So we had the idea where we're gonna create our own pizza oven and we're gonna. I love pizza. I love making pizza. That's my thing. Like I grew up on that, so I love it. What happened was that we started offering that as a dessert option, and that kind of. But she had the idea of we can do popsicles, you know, handed popsicles. Obviously, paletas, everybody does that, and not everybody, but a lot of people, Mexicans are, Latino culture, we call it esquimales, ¿verdad? Cry esquimales.
I didn't even know that they were
coming. Yeah, I knew, but she didn't know. So I'm half Mexican, half South, and she's all Salvador. So, so what happened is, I knew the rest of my life, but then if you look at our popsicle, for example, when we started making them, we started dipping them completely, right? But everybody does it. And it just looks like a bar.
Yeah.
So I said, we gotta dip it half. We gotta do something that's different.
It has to be
Instagram. Yeah. We thought the millennials, right? We're like, it has to be, like, our whole idea was, like, it's not that we have anything against anybody, like, any class, but obviously, if you want to do something great, your party has to be, like, top-notch. You have to love what you do, have passion for it. So even if you're sending, I don't know,
Raspados.
How can you make that be something you want? So what we thought together was, like, well, what kind of paletero would I want to come serve me? Like, I'm not going to want to, not anything against people, but I'm not going to hire someone to look at it. So I'm like, I want to have someone who comes and loves popsicles and says, look, it's cool. Take a picture of it. It's amazing. I'm like, the next thing here. We thought that. We thought with the pizza, it's like, if I bake a pizza for you, it's not going to be a regular, it's just a pizza. It's going to be like, oh, my God. It's amazing. Like, I want to eat this. The same thing with the paletas. We thought, man, you know, like, when we look at people and when we see people, I like to know that it's special what they're doing. Not because it's brand new and oh my God, but it's because they love what they do and they gave it a twist and it's their thing. That's, I think, why we love the pop-ups. Because we're like, we found a spot, like we had no idea what pop-ups were, right? Like, we knew the swap meet, like obviously you go to swap meet because you like certain things and that's where you get that. But the pop-ups, we had no idea that world existed, really. You have, like you said, we have the markets, like the, you know, like the, yeah, like the farmers markets and all this. But that's, you know.
Did you have another moment?
We did. So when we walked in, we were like, man, how do people do these things? And
it's just a fun vibe. Like,
it's
very
really,
really
creative, and it's nothing new. Like, obviously, anybody can make a t-shirt, but when you see a t-shirt that says like that, you know, someone's going to be that's really something that somebody thought and created it, and it's just cool to look at. And you're like, man, but it's a t-shirt. You know?
Right.
But it's really how he says it and how he puts it out, and it's him. So for you, that you want to, I think, like you said, everything, she said, everything's already invented. Like, she always said that, like, everything's already, like, what are we going to do? Like, what? But it's good. At the end of the day, you realize that it's what you love. If you do it with passion, God will bless it.
Amen.
We all good. Like, you know, yeah.
Yesterday I was at a panel with Patty Rodriguez. I don't know how many of you know Patty Rodriguez from Little Libros. And she said something that was really, really important. And you just mentioned something about how do I know what product to put money into,
yeah,
right? And she said that when she started, she said, I don't want to waste my money, right? I don't, like, if it works, chido. And if it doesn't, I've just blew out my savings. So instead of looking at it like that, I think you really need to look at it as, how am I going to invest this? How am I going to invest this money, and in what product? And so if you have several different ideas, you're not going to love all three ideas the same way. So take a look, start doing a list of pros and cons and saying, like, okay, a ver, este tiene esto, este tiene el otro, and then take it from there. But don't be afraid to fail, because even if it doesn't work, and if you lose all your money, which I have in the past, I know that sounds horrible, but I've had several different businesses. I have several businesses right now that, you know, some of them I'm okay with, and some of them are not generating money. Pero, at the end of the day, I think that the worst feeling you can have is that feeling of what if. So I would much rather fail at something, caerme hasta el suelo y levantarme, because yo sé que del suelo no pasa, you know? So, but how I decide what products to dedicate more time to are those that I really genuinely feel passionate and in love with.
I think that you have to know your avatar. Who's your customer? For me, that. Oh.
Thank you.
For me, that was the key. Like, knowing who was my customer. Like, knowing, okay, quién es mi cliente. Like, for me, when I started doing the cosmetics, I was like, I know I'm not gonna be an Anastasia Beverly Hills because there's already one. Like, who's my target? My customer. So in that time, I was like, well, I'm selling, you know, to the swamis, so unas girls que van con su mamá. That they don't have $50 to spend on a palette. Mine is super pretty, because I designed it. And it's $10. And it's $10. So, you know, that was my customer. You know, la gente que vendía en el swami, ¿quién va al swami? Pues las hijas, you know, the teenagers. So I was like, okay, mis clientes from 16 to 24. So I'm a target. They don't have a lot of money. You know, my brand is going to be affordable. It's going to look pretty. So that's how I decided. Like, and then you look for the best. That's a key. For me, honestly, that has worked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's
something.
Yeah.
And deciding that for your specific customer that you have.
Yeah, because honestly, no le vas a vender la paleta que le vendiste a la girl de 60 a una de 30. Mm-hmm. You know, their budgets are. La de 30 te va a comprar la de $50. Mm-hmm. Porque, you know, she already has the money, she's going to college already, she already has a job, so who's your customer?
And something that's important as well is a lot of times you have that self-doubt if you have different hobbies or different things that you enjoy. I would say the best thing you can do is continue education. Like, there's always something that you, if you're interested in something, like, go to conferences, network with people. And through the process, you'll find out, you know, your best client, your best target based on what you enjoy. Well, I want to thank everyone in the panel. If you don't mind sharing your handle for social media, so people can follow you if you want to, they want to continue the conversation.
My
handle?
Yeah,
at
Gourmet Paletas.
So, like, Gourmet
Paletas,
just to get
it. Gourmet Paletas. Yo tengo muchísimas. Again, going back to your question, because sometimes it's so difficult to pick over one product, right? So I have Globitos, at Globitos.
which we produce Latino Latinx inspired globitos that speak to us. So we have a Concha Balloon, we have one that says Te Quiero Mucho, we have a Frida, we have globitos that speak to our community, so that when you go to Party City, you're not just saying happy birthday. we actually have one that says happy verde. So that's one. And my business partner with that is Donna G from Univision Radio K-Love. And then also I have Calchonis. Calchonis is a brand for the queer Latinx community because, hey, listen, I'm queer, and these big brands that I know for the queer community that are buying these, like, sexy underwear, they're not targeting us. Even if you have that chiseled body, they're not targeting you because you're not white. So I came up with my own brand, and my brand has pan dulces, luchadores, paletas. So that's Calchonis. And then I also have an app que se llama La Jota app. And La Jota app allows you to send stickers if you have an iOS device, stickers that speak to our queer community that say things like sucia, estúpida, y escándalo. And then I have a podcast que se llama Nos Vemos en el Swag Meet. That podcast is completely in Spanish. Y aún hay más. I'm one of the co-founders for Podcasterio Network. And Podcasterio Network is a platform where we help other people that want to start a podcast so that they can speak and say their own truth versus having somebody else speak for us. And Pam from Café con Pam is here. She's one of the co-founders. And last but definitely not least, Molcajete Dominguero. And Molcajete Dominguero has been a huge blessing because it's helped so many families and so many people get out of debt, start a project, and really see it through. So yeah, those are my handles.
Well, we have three creations, and we have Mexico, we have Honduras, Ecuador, pero las otras es three creations cosmetics, y el otro sería Vitala.
Okay.
And my personal Esmeralda under the palito.
Sorry, it's under construction right now.
Oh.
But if you guys need anything, you guys can message her.
Yeah.
And I think if we have one more question back then.
I don't know if you guys have done any rebranding, but what's the process that you guys go through as far as rebranding, whether it's a product or the whole brand in itself?
That's hard. We're the process. And I'm still thinking about it. It's hard. Because it was so funny, porque cuando empezamos the cosmetic brand, we hicimos una, and we thought, me and Ruby, me and you, we were like, this is our high-end brand, and this is our affordable brand, and only, nomás nosotros sabíamos quién era quién. Y todos dijeron que everyone thought it was the opposite. Like, everyone thought Beauty Creation was the bomb, y ya nomás y ella éramos las únicas que sabíamos que Vitala was the bomb girl. So we're trying to make Vivala into the bomb girl. So we're working on that. It's hard. How do you do that?
So my experience, my background before Molcajete Dominguero is I was the experiential marketing director for a marketing agency, and I managed brands like Frito-Lay and big top brands. And so obviously a lot of things that I learned there I've put into practice with Molcajete Dominguero. And we actually, from when we started, our logo looked completely different from where we're at right now. And so for us, and one of the things that I've learned is, in order to change your to rebrand, it's important when you have a brand that is already established to not disrupt it so much. So you have to take it in waves. You can't just be like, hey, new me, new year, new me. Porque si no, people are going to be like, wait, what? I don't get it.
I lost you.
Yeah, you lose,
yeah,
you lose your, yeah, unlike, see. So if you're gonna rebrand, como que baby steps, and I know that that's probably not ideal because then you're spending a little bit more money, pero si tienes una marca grande, like yours, I mean, it's baby steps.
Yeah, we haven't even thought about rebranding. I like my logo. I'll let you know when we're there.
We're actually in, you guys know the story, but we have this one called El Pizza Cart, El Pizza with an XA cart, because that's our thing. And then we were doing a popsicle, so we did gourmetas. now as we expand, we plan on expanding, we're going to do the coffees and fraps and all that. We're thinking, like, do we name it a new thing? Or do we do the cafe card or coffee card by Gourmetas? So we're in a process as well. We're kind of like, how do we rebrand this? Do we rebrand it or do we keep it as under Gourmetas? Like, how do we do that? You know, so I'm learning, bro. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Bueno, pues espero que les haya gustado muchísimo este episodio, porque la verdad, para mí, el volver a escuchar este episodio, en realidad reflejé muchísimo en cuanto a el peso que tienen las palabras. Y espero muy pronto, a ver Esmeralda, este mensaje es para ti. Espero muy pronto tenerte en Nos Vemos en el SWATMI, porque en realidad yo quedé súper inspirado por ti, por tu historia, por todo lo que haces. Y la verdad me pareció increíble, y como tú dijiste, la colaboración es muy importante, y hemos, desde que nos conocimos en Hispanicize LA, hemos estado en comunicación, y Esmeralda iba a ser parte de Molcajete to Grow, pero aparte tenemos otro proyecto, lo cual todavía tenemos que platicar y desglosar todo muy bien. Pero por favor, manténganse al pie del cañón, porque en realidad tenemos un proyecto muy padre que creo va a beneficiar a nuestra comunidad muchísimo. Así que bueno, sigan a Esmeralda, sigan a Tommy, Amy, a Adriana, síganlos a todos, por favor. Ellos dieron sus handles durante el episodio. Y como les dije en un principio, pues les quiero presentar a alguien sumamente importante, porque fíjense que en uno de mis posts en Instagram, en los Insta Stories, porque yo ahí pongo absolutamente todo, hasta cuando me voy de pedo, ya los que me siguen en Instagram saben, y pues bueno, pedí ayuda, que creo que es algo que a veces nosotros como latinos no hacemos, no pedimos ayuda, no sé por qué, no sé si nos dé pena, o yo creo que es muy cultural el que no pidamos ayuda. Entonces yo puse un post y dije, necesito ayuda para poder sacar más episodios de Nos Vemos en el SWATMI. Necesito quien me ayude a editar, por favor. Y varios contestaron. Muchísimas gracias a todas las personas que contestaron. Muchas, muchas gracias. Es increíble ver el apoyo de la comunidad. Y pues bueno, finalmente pude coordinar bien desde nuestros horarios hasta qué tan cerca estaba de aquí de la oficina de Molcajete Dominguero, porque aquí es donde de ahora en adelante voy a grabar los episodios y todo esto. Pero les quiero presentar a alguien, les quiero presentar a la persona que nos va a ayudar a editar este podcast para poder sacar más episodios y más seguidos, y ojalá que no me renuncie después del primer episodio. Pero bueno, les quiero presentar a Halima Marín. Halima, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, ¿y tú?
Bien, 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 gracias. Oye, muchísimas gracias por ayudarme con lo del podcast, te lo agradezco muchísimo. Cuéntanos un poquito de ti.
Me llamo Halima.
Ajá.
Me gusta editar mucho, entonces por eso me ofrecí a ayudarte. Soy de Los Ángeles,
okay.
Nací aquí en Los Ángeles, en la Lorena,
pues okay.
Aquí cerquita,
sí, súper cerca.
Mi mamá es nicaragüense, no soy mexicana, pero México lo tengo en mi corazón, porque crecí aquí en East LA.
Claro.
Me encanta mucho la cultura mexicana, entonces por eso.
Gracias.
Yo me creo un poquito mexicana. Y o sea, me encanta todo lo que tú haces y
gracias.
Me gusta ser parte de este proyecto y a ver, echemos ganas para sacar mucho más.
Claro que sí, claro que sí. Entonces, bueno, pues van a estar escuchando muchísimo de Halima porque, ¿cómo se llama? Es una persona increíble. Y aparte, bueno, esto no te lo había dicho a ti, pero te lo voy a decir ya ahorita. Vas a tener que salir en el podcast.
Okay.
O sea, queremos saber de ti, quiero saber un poquito más. Y especialmente esta experiencia de vivir en East LA y no ser mexicana, ¿no? Eso me parece muy, muy increíble. Y pues bueno, entonces aquí lo tienen y pueden seguir a Halima en dónde? ¿Cuáles son tus Instagram?
Halima 10
o
Halima 10.
Ok, Halima 10 en Instagram, perfecto. Entonces ahí la pueden seguir y yo obviamente la voy a taggear. Y pues bueno, Nos vemos en el SWAT Meet.